Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually and physical fit. Well, I hope everybody's have joined my Building Their Temple page for that salad challenge, and everybody is now should be eating plenty of salad for the rest of the week. I'll be posting on Building Their Temple Facebook page about eating more fruits and vegetables in our diet, because 2/3 of American people are overweight due to lack of activity and poor diet. Well, we got a special guest tonight, Tonya Barbee. Tonya knows hardship, and she knows how to be hurt over and over again. She has been in several painful and fruitful relationships, but she learned so much about herself through this difficult process. She wished that things would be easier for all women, but women are naturally intuitive creatures who rely on that inner voice, which can be quite immature and hopeful. We're going to learn about that inner voice and about her latest book, The Little Girl Inside, Oh, and My Role in My Own Pain. For a lot of us, we create drama and then we blame everybody else, but we got to admit, we got to own up to it. So right after this commercial, we'll go to our presenter for this evening.
Renee Wiggins is a Christian life coach and host of Transformation Give Up the Struggle, where she helps to equip and empower you from the inside out so you can share your story in order that others may grow physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Well, that's my Thursday night promo, Transformation Give Up the Struggle, where I have other authors that come in and talk about their story that inspire and motivate you. But we're going to go to Tonya Barbee and ask her all about her latest book here and what she's going to do for us this evening.
Hello, everybody. I'm happy
hello,
to be here
hello.
Tonight.
I am
yes,
so glad you're
excited.
Here.
Yes, I am,
I am too.
Well, I am Tonya Barbee, as you have introduced me. I have written the book, The Little Girl Inside, Owning My Role in My Own Pain. I am a North Carolinian. I've been here in the DMV area for the last 30 years, but I'll always claim North Carolina. And I've been married 4 times, and I was going in a circle where I wasn't going forward, I wasn't progressing, and the relationships kept failing. I mean, nothing was going right. And it occurred to me that I was looking for a fairy tale marriage. I was looking for the fantasy. I wanted what I thought I wanted because of what I read years ago as a little girl. And I came to the conclusion that didn't exist. But I had to go through a lot of pain before I came to the realization that, Tonya, you have to make some changes in your life. You have to hold up that mirror. You can't blame anyone else but you, and you got to get it together, evaluate your life, evaluate the steps you've taken, so that you won't take them again and you'll make changes in your life. So although I've spent 25 years in bad marriages, that's 25 years no more. I have new friends. I have a special friend in my life now who values me, who respects me, who treats me like a lady. And As a result, I'm a better person. And most importantly, I love me. And when you love yourself, you have a tendency not to let people hurt you. And, Renee, that's where I am today. And that's what my book is about, going through some relationship challenges and putting up the mirror, dealing with me, stop being the little girl, stop depending on the little girl, and make some adjustments and grow up. And I have grown up. And the book is, I wrote the book to help others get out of those negative cycles and move forward and start doing some positive things. And most importantly, love yourself first. And that way you'll see immediate changes in your life. You'll get rid of all the old friends that really are no longer your good friends. You'll start over. And it'll be like a breath of fresh air, and the weight will be removed from your shoulders, and you'll feel lighter. And that goes with your shows. Some of our obesity is from the weight we carry on our shoulders. On top of eating poorly, we carry a lot of dead weight on our shoulders. And if you get rid of that, all of a sudden, you want to eat better. You want to do better. You want to live right because you love yourself. So that's what my book is about, Renee.
Ooh, girl, you're starting all the time. You're just preaching. You are preaching. Go ahead. You are preaching. We're going to cover some things and stay right here because, one, you said you went through four marriages. So when I was thinking of that, I'm not being disrespectful, but I'm thinking about the Good Samaritan woman who came to the well.
Yeah.
And Jesus was talking about living water. I thought about you that, you know, you came to that point where, you know, how can I drink this water? How can you, like you say, think of the steps? I'm no longer going to be in bondage to that little fairy tale,
right,
to that little girl inside of me. I'm no longer.
Absolutely.
When did that point come to you? When did that point come to you?
It came to me when I married my fourth husband and realized through, of course, some investigations, that he wasn't my husband. And I said, you mean to tell me, Tanya, you've been married to a man 8 years and you have a child with this man and you didn't know that he had another wife? So I said, I didn't spend much time fussing and crying. I was a little hurt. I was a little embarrassed. I was more so hurt for my son because I have a son now with him, and he's 9 years old now. And I was hurt by that. The betrayal was just incredibly deep. I just couldn't believe it. There were times I couldn't breathe. But I had to put the mirror up. How did this happen? What was I doing? What did I ignore? And when I look back, I ignored. I wrote about it in the book. I ignored so many signs that would have revealed, if I did not ignore them, that somebody else was in his life. Now, granted, he wasn't with his wife, but he was legally married to her in another state. And that made me wake up. And with that, I decided I needed to write about it to get rid of all of that bitterness and pain and confusion and actually anger, more so with myself. And writing helped me as far as it was therapeutic for me to write that story, and I felt much better after I did.
So all this time, he was still in the same state with you, but legally he was married to somebody else. He didn't think to get divorced because Dawson, you still got to do joint returns or something, you know.
She
got a call.
Ironically, he never did. We never did do joints. It was like he wanted to protect me. We never bought a house together. We never bought big purchases. And we would go to a closing table. All this is in my book. And all of a sudden he'd say, God told me we can't buy this house. He was a slickster. I have to give him credit. He put the S in slick. But I did not spend a lot of time talking about what he did to me. I did not play that victim. I played that victor. And I decided this would not happen to me again. And on top of that, I'm doing something where I'm trying to get legislature to understand, help us in this. It was no reason in the world why he could have married me in the state of Maryland, being that he was married in another state to somebody else. That should not have happened. So there's obviously some things going on with our laws and regulations. There's a lot of holes in there, and I'm waiting for some people to respond to my letters. They have not yet, but that's a serious offense to be a bigamist in our country. Why is it so easy to marry someone and live and have another wife in another state? But mind you, I know it is very easy to do that, and I've experienced it, but it shouldn't be that easy. So
somewhere
in
the line,
the clerk
did not check then. Is that what you're saying?
No,
the clerk did not check.
I disagree. I believe they just accept those papers and stamp. There's no record. There's nothing that links all of this together. So it's not a clerk issue. It's a bigger issue than a clerk. And I'm hoping that this happened to me to help resolve that issue. But in the meantime, I did not play a victim. I played the victor, and I came out on top. But it was a dreadful experience. I don't wish that on anyone. And but first and foremost, it was no reason for me to be married so many times. But I wanted that fairy tale. I wanted the happy marriage. And if it didn't work the first time, I didn't give up. I'm a conqueror. I'd go right back out there and try again. But I realized it takes time. You got to get to really know people. And, Renee, I think you need to spend more than 6 months, more than 12 months with someone before you marry them. Because my take is you need to know the worst about that person, not the best, because they're going to show you the best for the first 3 to 6 months. But you need to know what you don't like about that person and whether or not you can live with that for the rest of your life. And lots of times we don't even wait that long, or we ignore those signs of what we don't like. And then when we get married, we realize we hate those things. But we marry them anyway, and we tolerate it for as long as we can. Then we're ready to close the door on the relationship. But after what I've gone through, I would suggest being in a relationship a lot longer before you say I do. Because I married strangers, and I won't do that again. I will never do that again. I'm proudly saying never, Renee. Never, never, never.
I know. I hear you. I also hear I married strangers. I heard another book. Or a chapter,
yes.
I married strangers. Wow, because that is deep, because you sounded like, God, this is not Tolliver. Is it Tolliver, Judge Tolliver on TV, Divorce Court? And she talked about don't get married in 4 months. Don't get married. So there were people get married in 2 and 3 days. She said you didn't have time to get to know each other. And what you said, get to see the worst of that person and see
yes.
if you can ask yourself if you can live with that person. Because
absolutely.
Nobody, like the Fatal Attraction movie, careful when you step outside your home. And
yes.
then this one that's coming up, and I forgot the name of it, but the one of the ladies is sitting in the bar, and this white guy come over to her,
absolutely.
And he's trying to rap onto her, and this brother come up and said, "I'm sorry, I'm late," which is, you know, we find out later on that's just the guy coming on to her, and he told the
yes.
guy to move, and he gives the father-in-law the tickets to the game. He's giving flowers to the mother. He's treating her nice, treating the friends
absolutely.
Nice, and then all of a sudden he goes off, and she's like, running from him, and then she's laying in bed, and he's underneath. Oh, man. I was like, oh, wow. It just scares you. And you're right, because
stuff.
You marry a stranger. You don't really
right.
know that person until
absolutely.
Later on in life.
Until later mm-hmm. on in life. And you see how signs, she started getting signs later. But if she had gotten into a relationship with him day one, and started loving on him and telling him I love you within those first 3 months, she would have never seen those signs. And they're always, mm. women too, will show you their good side for as long as
mm-hmm.
they can. So
right.
for that reason, I recommend waiting. What's the rush anyway? Of course, I got girlfriends in their late 50s, and they're saying, I don't care. I'm ready to get married. I don't want to live alone. But if you marry the wrong person, you are living alone. So that's what we don't recognize. If you're marrying the wrong person, you're still alone. So I think it's wise at this point, at least in my life, that I would definitely take my time before I would ever walk down the aisle. Well, first, I don't think I'll ever walk down the aisle again, but I'm not going to ever close the door on a sacred marriage. I will just, like I said, and I will say this repeatedly, I will get to know who I'm going to marry. It won't be a stranger. It'll be someone where I know the worst things about him and whether or not I can accept those things, whether or not I can live with those things, and vice versa, because he may not like something about me, but he needs to see it and recognize it. And he will make the determining fact. He will be the determining factor whether or not he can handle it or not handle it. And that's just my take on that.
So you just went to that well and laid it all out the line and threw that mask off, and now you can see, boy, you just, in other words, that
yes.
little girl inside of you has grown up, you know. It's like,
yes,
on my role in my
grown.
Own pain, because a lot of times women don't, like you said, don't see it. They put the mask on, or they think they can change the guy, and they keep thinking they can keep, and next thing you know, they're changing for the benefit of him and not for themselves.
Absolutely. And you brought up a good point. That mask is no joke. I spoke at a church last week, and I talked about the mask, but I titled it, "What Does Pain Look Like?" Because my readers are sending me their feedback. And one reader said, "You don't look like you went through all of that." Well, my speech was on, what does pain look like?
Mm.
And women, and particularly women of color, I've recommended during that talk that we be more kind to each other. We compliment one another. We hold each other up instead of talking about one another. We build each other up and try to protect each other, try to love on each other. And that's because you don't know what another person is going through, because pain doesn't have a look. I could be, when I went through all of that drama, I went to work every day. I had a smile on my face. I dressed up. I put makeup on. You didn't see the tears because I had the right eyeliner. I had the right eyeshadow. I had the right lashes. I had the hair over the eye, little sexy hair over the eyeball, you know, one eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I hid my pain like a lot of people do. And no one knows what people are going through, and it's so much better if people are going through something and you and the people that are going through something are kind to them. And that's what I recommend, that when we are holding up the mask and doing the best we can, holding all of that pain inside, try to be around people that are positive. And I stress that those who are just walking day to day anywhere, just smile at the person coming towards you, because you don't know what that person is going through. And I could have had 20 nervous breakdowns, but I decided, no, Tanya. And I heard the voice, just let it go. Don't do anything. Don't go to work. Let's just be numb, because your life is shot. You're no good to nobody. You had 4 failed marriages. But I saw my little one, and he was about 7 at the time. And I realized, no, I had to live for him. And God was with me. So I just prayed every morning. And every time I felt that negativity, I said, Jesus. And it seemed like that negative spirit would just move away from me. And I was able to move forward in my life. Take one step, and God would take 5. Take another step, God would take 6. So he would give me that head start once I would take that first step. But we have to take those steps first in order to see a change in our lives. And I'm here to tell you, I see changes every day, and I'm so blessed. I'm so happy. But I went through a lot to get to this happiness. And by me writing that book, my goal is to help others who are in similar situations. Maybe they didn't get married 4 times, but they married somebody who doesn't love them, who is very disrespectful, who's cheated on them, who's abused them, who told them they were never amount to anything, all that verbal abuse. I'm here to tell you there's something better for you, and it doesn't have to be that way. But first and foremost, we have to make those changes ourselves, and that's what I did, and that's what my book is about, owning up to my own role in my own pain. I took responsibility for the pain I created by saying I do to somebody I didn't even know. Everything he said to me, I believed, and I paid for that. I'm not even blaming him. You know, he comes to get my son and spends time with him, and they go do whatever they have to do, and I wave, you know, I'm done. You know, I feel for anybody else that he meets, because he has not changed, but Tanya Barbie has changed. No one will ever be able to do that to me again. And that's why I wrote that book, so I could help others.
And we do need that, because it's not just in marriages. I see that so many times in just relationship of how women just succumb to the man and let him say anything to her and do anything to her, and you try to say something to these women, but it's always like, mind your business, you know, you don't have anybody, so don't tell me, blah, 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 blah. And yet you can see they give, and it's just, you know, wears on their soul. And when you're talking about pain, you're right, we covered up with all that makeup. It's verbal abuse, mental abuse, it's just as greater as physical abuse. So, you know, with physical abuse, you put the makeup on and everything and try to wear long sleeves, the same thing. You're wearing that mask trying to hide pain, but it's eating up you inside, and that person has no clue. We as women, and especially the women, we have to, as you say, get to know that person. Don't give up too much for that person. You know, don't hand over the house keys, don't hand over the car keys, don't let them know everywhere you're going and everything. Because, you know, eventually they own you, and you don't even own yourself anymore.
Yes. I let that man move into my house within 7 months of dating him, because he proposed in 6 months. So I said, well, you can come on and move in if that's what you need to do, because he said he was closing out of his apartment. Guess what I found out? He wasn't closing out of his apartment. somebody else was kicking him out, and he had to go somewhere else. And I'm not mad at him. It's a hustle out there. These guys, they're women too. It's a game out here. We have to have our stuff together because they have their stuff together. They have the game together. So if we're not together, we don't see that game coming. But if we are together and we have God in our lives, all the answers will be right there. And looking back,
all the answers.
Yes, ma'am. I would hear that voice say, you need to question this. You need to challenge this. But I would say, oh, no, that's that little girl inside. Oh, he's a nice man. He knows scripture. He's a godly man. That's what I would say to myself. But I let that little girl who wanted that beautiful, perfect relationship, the fairy tale, the fantasy land, I let her lead me until I woke up and say, quiet, little girl. You stay in your lane. I'm an adult. I am 52 years old. That will never happen again. Never.
That is so true. That, and I like that because, again, you know, looking at so many of the sisters, we change so much because, you know, we're trying to keep him from going over to the next person. But there's signs. There's signs out there, but we refuse to look at those signs so many times, afraid of the challenges, afraid of being alone. But I like what you put it. You get married, you get in a relationship, yet you're still alone. You know, still
you
on the signs
are
right
alone.
There.
Because he's there with you physically, he is never going to be there mentally with you if you have the wrong mate. And if we make ourselves readily available, they will walk over us like we, and I'm not talking about pointing the finger. I'm telling readers and listeners, this is what happened to me. And I would do anything to help it not happen to you or anybody else. And that's why I like to share my story, because it could happen to any of us. Because we're so trusting, we're so loving. This is us by nature. We're just kind people. We love to genuinely, up front, day one, we care. But we need to put those characteristics in check because they can see us coming. And they game and they game and they game. And they use until they can't use us anymore. And then they go on to somebody else.
Yes,
that person
and that's true.
Somebody else's home right now. He's living in another woman's home, a beautiful home. She's a very nice person. She's very smart. She's retired. They move on. They use somebody else.
Right. And that is really true because I've seen that, you know, I've been listening on the news lately, and there's some guys that get together, and they say they don't want women that are too easy. They want to chase and not be chased. So don't give up too quickly, because when you do that, just like you said, then the game is over. They feel that you don't need them, and therefore, like you said, they get all what they can from you, and then move on to the next person. And that's all they do in their lives. That's all they do. We got about a minute here. So give everybody just two more things, and then tell everybody where they can get your book.
I just want everyone to know that they are still a rose, no matter what they go through. I've started a company called I Am Still a Rose. I want all ladies to know that no matter what we experience in life, we are still someone important. In spite of what we've gone through, we're still a beautiful flower. The name of my book is The Little Girl Inside, Owning My Role in My Own Pain, and you can find it at www.iamstillarose.com. And you can email me, you can write me, you can... When you read the book, you can tell me what you liked about it, what you didn't like, and I'm getting ready to write another book. I'm in the process of getting that one published, And things are looking up, and I'm in hopes that everybody that reads it will learn how to deal with pain and first hold the mirror up and deal with themselves and start loving on themselves. And that's
it
for
thank
me.
You very much. That's it. Oh, well, thank you very much for coming by. I truly am blessed to have you, and I know my listeners
yes.
have as well. We're about to go off the air, but, you know, everybody can contact me, and I can let her know, you know, information
yes.
that you want to get from Tonya. Barbie, and thank you so very much, and you have a
thank
good day.
Thank you for having me. You too.
Thank you. You take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Listen to Renee Wiggins of Blog Talk Radio, Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, next week for more fabulous tips on nutrition, fitness, and stress management.